Good morning. You're watching The Program with Ted Rall and John Kiriakou. Good morning, John.
Morning, Ted. Welcome to Washington, Ted.
Thank you. It's good to be here. Monday, it is Monday, February 23rd. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Please like, follow, and share the show. If my Wi-Fi is a little squirrely this morning, it's because I'm in an unfamiliar place with an unfamiliar ancient 19th century Wi-Fi. Here's what we're going to be talking about. Mike Huckabee making friends across the Middle East. We'll be talking about U.S. stock futures are down this morning. Trump is back at the tariff thing. Supreme Court be damned. We'll be talking about that. It's the fourth anniversary of the Russian invasion of Ukraine. And France is really pissed at the U.S. for its comments about Quentin Durant. If this is a story that probably you're going to be following here more than anywhere else, it's worth knowing about, and we'll explain why. As usual, please put your comments and questions in the live chat, in Rumble, and in YouTube. We're looking forward to those. We love those. So keep those coming, and always thank you in advance for all of your donations that keep the show going and make it viable. And, we would enjoy doing it anyway, but we really appreciate your appreciation. All right, John, before we get into some of the comments, which, by the way, Robbie hasn't, we're still waiting for them to come up.
Yep.
Let's go ahead and talk about one of our topics. What would you like to go with first?
We've got to start with Mike Huckabee.
Yeah, we do.
Mean to laugh because it's not funny. It's deadly serious. But Mike Huckabee has to be the biggest, if not one of the biggest jackasses ever to serve as an American ambassador in any country, in any era in American history. Listen, I get that the guy's an evangelical. I get that. But when you are an ambassador, your title is Ambassador Extraordinary and Plenipotentiary and Personal Representative of the President of the United States. That's the official title, which means you don't have any opinions. Your opinion is the opinion of the President of the United States. And even this president doesn't believe that Israel, greater Israel, should extend from the Euphrates River to the Nile. So. Right. You know, what we're talking about here is that Huckabee finally agreed to give Tucker Carlson an interview, finally, after being battered about the head and face. He finally said yes.
And that was probably a mistake on Huckabee's part.
It was a mistake on Huckabee's part. Absolutely, positively, it was a mistake. Because Huckabee thinks, even after a year of being ambassador, that he's allowed to have opinions. And he's not allowed to have opinions. His opinion is whatever the president tells him his opinion is. And even this president has friends who lead Arab countries. So, first of all, I don't know if you've seen the shorts that Tucker has done. I've been like doing a Tucker deep dive the last couple of days. Harassed at the airport going in, harassed at the airport coming out. His staff was harassed. His cameraman was harassed. They wouldn't even give him flight clearance. Just to be on the safe side, what Tucker did was he chartered a private jet. And he said, I never do this because I'm too cheap and jets are really expensive. I always fly commercial. But this time he said, I decided to fly private just because we thought it would be easier. And it actually wasn't easier. And so what they did was, they sent a message to the American embassy asking the American embassy to inform the Israeli military that this plane is coming in and it's carrying Tucker Carlson and his team. And Huckabee said, no, we're not going to tell the Israelis anything. And he said that he reminded Huckabee that the Israeli military controls Israeli airspace. There's not a civil aviation authority. It's the military. And Huckabee said, I don't care. So Tucker said he had to make this decision. Like, are they going to shoot me down because I'm Tucker Carlson? Or is Huckabee going to come through? So they just risked it and they flew in and it was okay. But then at the same time, you know, you have to worry about what might happen. And what ended up happening was that they were harassed at every single step of the way. And then Huckabee just made a complete ass of himself in the interview.
Right. So let's go specifically. Let's quote exactly what the words that are, because Huckabee is doing what, you know, politicians do when they get in trouble. They're trying to say that they didn't say what they said. Right.
Right.
He said, this is a quote. It would be fine. So he was asked about, the Old Testament. I mean, this is kind of ridiculous that foreign policy is based on the Bible. But anyway, he was asked about the Old Testament and said, so what do you think about the promise in the Old Covenant that that these Israelites are entitled to all of the lands from Egypt to the Euphrates River? So in other words, we're talking about contemporary Israel plus the occupied territories, Jordan, obviously Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Iraq. What am I forgetting? All the
Jordan and the entire Sinai Peninsula.
And all of the, and we're talking, and I guess we're talking about Yemen and Oman. We'd be talking about the Gulf states, right? So anyway, it's a lot of territory. Huckabee said it would be fine if they, the Israelis, took it all.
Yeah,
but
I don't care. He said, I don't care. They could take it all.
But he said, they don't want, this is what he's walking back. He said, well, but I also said, and this is true, he did say this, but they don't want to take it over. They're not asking to take it over. Okay, that's true in Huckabee's defense. However, he's missing the point. The point is, like, you're pretending like, well, what if the Israelis were to ask? Then what? I mean, you know, I would say that a standard opinion of every diplomat in a post-Metternich world is the international borders are sacrosanct. All the countries that are here now are entitled to their national sovereignty. We don't look to change any of that. We don't want to change any borders. We don't care what Israel would say or anyone else. Israel hasn't brought it up, but if they did, we would say no, right? I think that would be the correct answer.
Right.
Something along those lines, more temperate. But he's basically not saying, he's not getting it. Like, basically, it's like, well, whatever Israel wants, Israel gets, is what he's saying.
Just take it.
Just take it. I mean, not that they could, you know, and it's true. They're not, even Benjamin Netanyahu is not insane enough at this stage to try to, you know, propose anything like that. But I mean, this is about, you know, anybody, this really feeds into some seriously crazy, you know, I mean, The Zionism in this administration is way off the charts, right? It goes to 12.
We've never seen anything like this before. Never.
Yeah.
Never.
I mean, Mike Huckabee has always been an idiot. And, I don't think much more of his daughter. But it's like, this is really a new low. I mean, I know the president doesn't want to get rid of him. I mean, any more than he wants to get rid of Kristi Noem. But, you know, the embarrassments are stacking up. I mean, I think the administration is kind of in the need of a purge, right? It's time for a Saturday Night Massacre to get rid of some people.
I mean,
Kristi Noem, over the weekend, right, tried to shut down TSA Pre and Global Entry. She said, basically, she kind of implied, like, well, who are these fancy people with their TSA Pre, like that they can just glide through? It's like, well, these are the people who paid $85 to $115 to be able to do that, and in a program that the government had, you know, offered them, and it makes it easier for TSA, right, for people to already be pre-screened. But it's like, they're not fancy people, right? It's $85 for 5 years. But then she had to walk it back because the airlines were furious about this because they thought they were going to get so many complaints. It was going to cost them a lot of money. And so she walks it back. And I'm thinking, this is the same lady who fired her and then unfired her pilot because, you know, she forgot her blankie on board for her and Corey. I mean, it's kind of like you fly in a private government jet and you're going to tell other people that who are, you know, sloughing through coach on an American domestic carrier that, like, they're fancy. I mean, I don't know. It's just like the communications, I mean, they have failed at the cabinet level.
Yeah, they have. Don't forget, Huckabee was the one who welcomed with open arms the traitor Jonathan Pollard and feted him at the U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem. I said on Twitter back then, within hours, that Huckabee should resign. He is not the appropriate person for us to have representing American interests in Israel, because he doesn't represent American interests. He represents Israeli interests, and he represents evangelical Zionist Christian interests. And that's mm-hmm. it, not the rest mm-hmm. of the country.
Well, and this, you know, so I think, you know, there's always, I think the big unintended consequence here is that the idea that Israel dreams of a greater Israel is now out in the open. It's yeah. not something that the average American, even political junkie, was aware of. That's and now right. there's these images online of certain IDF battalions that they have these shoulder patches that purport, I'm not sure this is accurate or not, I don't know, but that purport to show like a map of greater Israel that's on the soldiers' shoulders. I don't know if it's true or not. It kind of doesn't matter. The fact that it's being discussed as like greater Israel is a thing. It's like greater Serbia or, you know, any greater anything. It's like, this is something that now Americans are, oh, wait, Israel's not content with just their little piece of New Jersey, the size of New Jersey, or even like grabbing their occupied territories and annexing them. They want the whole schmear.
That's right. The whole thing, including all of the oil and all of the water.
It's like, if true, this is something that I think might, you know, put it, be a chip in the armor of people of the Zionist movement in the United States. I mean, a lot of Americans don't think that's okay, even people who support Israel.
Even evangelicals. Because not every evangelical right. Christian is a Zionist.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Last night, I stayed up late. I stayed up late just going through what people were saying about Tucker's interview with Huckabee. And a lot of evangelicals were beside themselves that he would say such stupid and ill-informed things. I mean, Robbie's an evangelical Christian, and Robbie's cracking on Huckabee and Huckabee's biblical reasoning. It just doesn't make sense. Huckabee, please, Robbie, come on. Come and tell us. Tucker, not just Tucker, but this parade last night on Twitter and on Facebook of evangelical preachers, men and women, just saying Huckabee is wrong, wrong, wrong in his interpretation of the scripture.
Because he is. So if you go back to the time of Joshua, that's when those promises were given. It was for Moses, and it was, you know, for the children of Israel. Here's the problem. The covenant was contingent on the Israelites' obedience to God. The entire point was for them to come out to be a light, to show people who the real true God is, and to live accordingly. That was the whole point. They didn't. They failed. As soon as Moses went to Mount Sinai to get the Ten Commandments, what did they do? They made a golden calf and started doing the crap.
They started bowling it up.
100%. So for one thing, all you have to do is go in and read your Bible. The entire premise that God's promises are unconditional, regardless of your obedience, is false on its face.
Well, especially in the Old Testament, right?
Well, it's the same for both. And also, you know, the borders that the Bible puts out has to do with the millennial reign of Christ. It was never about the world we live in now anyway.
You are absolutely right.
This is insane. And I get into this all the time with people at my church. My church is, I go to a little Baptist church here in Kalispell, Montana. I'm like one of only two people that's not a Zionist. And it's crazy because what that lets you do is sharpen your arguments. How you sharpen your arguments? By doing this thing called reading, which I like to do anyway. This is insane. Tucker Carlson destroyed, and I mean that sincerely, he destroyed Huckabee on what should have been Huckabee's home turf, which is theology.
Tucker Carlson has more IQ in his little toe than Huckabee. Incredibly, right?
So.
I mean, it's definitely so. Godzilla versus Bambi. But, you know, I mean, so I gotta ask, I mean, if we got a time machine and you could go back and tell the, you know, the UN and Truman and all the people who pushed, you know, pushed the, for the creation of the State of Israel in 1948. I mean, I think with the benefit of hindsight, if we could undo the name, just change it to like Jewistan or something, or and like not let them have the Star of David on the flag, you'd be solving a lot of problems because they're conflating themselves. They're like, oh, we're a continuously operating entity since, you know, for the last 3,500 or more years. That's just not true.
Here's the problem is that they believe their own BS. That's the problem.
Yeah.
So they believe that they are the chosen people of God. Talk about racism. I get called a racist daily on this show because I think they have more.
I'm sorry I do that, Robbie.
It's fine. It's okay. I have thick skin. I can handle it.
Okay.
All right. Let me ask before you finish the sentence. Who are you supposed to be racist against?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I just am. It just happens. General. I'm a white guy who normally has a southern accent when my throat ain't sore.
But do people know that your wife is black and your kids are biracial?
Some of the comments say that she's been colonized or that she's a race traitor. Oh. It's pretty gnarly.
Oh, God.
That's lovely.
It's like right out of the U.S. prison system.
Oh, it's okay. It's okay. But here's the thing, though. I guess I could be a white nationalist and not believe I'm a chosen by God to be able to go and kill people and take their land because my ancestors were promised 3,000 years ago for a promise that my ancestors violated.
Ancestors.
The covenant.
Yes, ancestors in correct. Scare quotes.
No, the thing is, no, John, your Greek ancestors got more of a claim to Anatolia,
yeah,
than the Jewish Ashkenazis from Poland yes. have for the Levant.
Yes, indeed.
So stick up your poop and smoke it.
These claims are ridiculous, and thank you very much for that, Robbie. We'll be seeing more of you. All right, so I guess the question is, Mike Huckabee is safe because Donald Trump doesn't like to fire people because he thinks firing people makes him look weak. He's not entirely wrong about that. He's on the phone with the Arab League, 14 Arab countries, and then, you know, there's the countries he didn't even hear from who are pissed too.
Yeah.
You know, he's got to be saying like, no, that's not our policy. Nothing's really going to happen as a result of this,
no,
right? But it's just
happen.
A bad look.
But I'll say literally every Middle Eastern country, plus the Organization of the Islamic Conference, OIC, or whatever, they just recently changed the name, whatever OIC now stands for, plus the Gulf Cooperation Council, plus the Arab League, all filed formal diplomatic protests. This guy, listen, I've been watching foreign policy or participating in the formulation and implementation of foreign policy for many, many years. I've never seen this happen before. Never.
Yeah, no. Well, while we're at it, I promise we're going to get to your questions, but it seems like a natural segue, John, to the French situation, because it's also a diplomatic row, right? So, you know, obviously this kid, Quentin Deranc, 23 years old, a right-wing activist, was in a brawl, street brawl between far-rightists that he was with and far-leftists.
Yeah.
Just for whatever it matters, there was a left-wing event being held, and then the right-wingers were protesting the left-wing event, and basically they both have kind of like young, like sort of advanced guard, goon squad type people, and, you know, and they were beating each other up, and Deranc got the worst of it and died, unfortunately, tragically, stupidly. And so anyway, the French, the U.S. State Department issued a statement on their Twitter feed, on their socials, basically saying, this is what happens. Left wingers are killers. And this is what's happening. And we're very concerned about that. I thought this was, for people who don't follow diplomacy, but John, I'm very interested in your thoughts here. This is a very harshly worded statement. The Foreign Affairs Minister, Jean-Noël Barrot, said, we reject any instrumentation of this tragedy, which is basically a terrible translation, but basically exploitation would be a better word, which has plunged a French family into mourning for political ends. We have no lessons to learn, particularly on the issue of violence, from the international reactionary movement.
Ouch.
the and so he's calling the U.S. State Department under the Trump administration part of a vast right-wing global conspiracy, basically. I'm not sure he's wrong. And there is an international reactionary movement. You know, it's in place, you know, people like Millet, and it's all over the world. But I mean, for the French to be, so, you know, who are so temperate, who arguably, you know, they were ground zero of international diplomacy in the Western world for centuries. You know, French was the international language of the diplomatic corps. You know, France is super important as a in the world of diplomacy. Mm-hmm. John, did this shock you to see the French basically saying "fuck off" and "shut up"?
No, I'm frankly surprised it took them this long to do it.
Really?
The French have had enough of us. A lot of countries have had enough of us. The Danes are beside themselves. You and I didn't get a chance to talk at the end of last week about Lindsey Graham making an utter ass of himself in a meeting with the Danish and Greenland prime ministers, in which he repeatedly dropped the F-bomb and said, "Greenland is ours. Get used to the idea." Our European friends and allies, and I say friends and allies because we've been friends and allies for 250 years, mm-hmm. are sick of us. They're sick of this neocon bullshit that has reared its ugly head, and they're tired of the likes of Lindsey Graham and Mike Huckabee telling them how to run their countries and live their lives. They're sick of it. And so I know that the conventional wisdom is they're just going to hang on for another 2.5 years, but we're getting, or 3 years, but we're getting to the point where even that is starting to look too hard.
And the thing is, we used to be Big Daddy shelling out the big defense bucks, so they kind of had to shut up whenever we said stupid things. That's but Trump's right. taking that back, not wrongly, in my opinion. But you know, the thing is, if you know, it's kind of like if your kid is in college and you're sending money and you're paying the tuition, they kind of have to be somewhat respectful. But if you decide like you're on your own, get a job, you know, get work, become a work study student, and I'm not helping you, your kid can tell you what they think of you. And that's, I think, what's going on here with the Europeans.
I agree with you. I agree.
And so anyway, so we'll watch this, but I thought it was a very strongly worded statement. What do you make of the statement of France basically accusing the United States government of being part of an international reactionary movement?
That's overstating the case.
Yeah. It is.
It's overstating it. And I think that they're lashing out because they're very angry. I think that's right. What it is.
Yeah. I mean, basically what the French are saying, I mean, it is true that their justice minister was pretty intemperate and was accusing the left of being involved. But immediately, starting with President Macron and all throughout the rest of the French system, they all said, like, this is the opposite of what we're seeing here. They had the traditional, like, we're going to let the justice system play out. We're going to let the investigation finish. We'll see. Then we'll see what's what. But the government shouldn't have any comment on this at all. Mm-hmm. They're right. And so for the U.S. to come in and try to stir the pot, as they saw it, I think really yes. just infuriated
Agreed.
Them.
Agreed.
Okay. So ready for some questions?
Yeah. The best part.
Flanderina. Got a little halfway through Tucker's interview with Huckabee, and I was just too disgusted to continue. How that man, Huck, qualifies as a man of God baffles me. I agree with that.
Totally.
For both of us, Frasmataz, how does Antifa in Europe play into NATO's three objectives, keeping Russia out, America in, and Germans down? I wish it was about keeping Germans down. I'm not happy about the fact that Germany has such an incredibly powerful role in post-World War Europe. Antifa in Europe is real, unlike Antifa in the United States. I mean, it is a real thing. There's organization, but they're part of party infrastructures. Like in France, they have their, you know, La France Insoumise is basically an Antifa party. And Antifa, you know, operates within that tent. Other countries have analogies there. But I think the implication from Frasmataz is that it's like somehow a tool of NATO. No. Antifa is like more is.
No. Listen, you and I have talked about this. I don't really believe that there is such a thing as Antifa.
There's not a movement. Yeah, no. It's not an organization.
No.
Yeah, like I'm a card-carrying member of Antifa. That's not a thing.
Exactly.
Okay. Do we have definitely have a chat about Mexico if you can, guys? Thanks for bringing that up. Killer Cola. I'd be keen to know if you've had any experiences with Mexico and information with the cartels. Yeah. So basically, what this is, of course, is a big story is that the Mexicans basically killed one of their big cartel chiefs over the weekend. A bunch of U.S. tourists are kind of marooned down there.
Did you see the video from Guadalajara Airport? People were literally running for their lives, hiding under benches, hiding in the bathrooms.
Escape from Kabul. At least they're not falling off the planes yet. Look, if I have to be stuck somewhere, I want to be stuck where the margaritas are made properly. I wouldn't have a problem with it. But anyway, I take this as a, basically this is Sheinbaum deciding to flex muscle for the central government. You know, her predecessors did the same thing, but basically it's like, you guys don't get to run my country. The political class gets to run this country. That's what this is about. The struggle isn't over, but
no. Hey, it's ongoing. And one cool thing about this too is, at the beginning, the USG, took equal credit. And that wasn't the case. The U.S. had some electronic intelligence that it passed to the Mexican government, and the Mexicans did this completely on their own. Very impressive.
It's very impressive also when you consider how, like, even though corruption is a thing in the Mexican police and the federales, it's not nearly as deep or as widespread or pervasive as you'd expect it to be in a country with those demographics. They do a pretty good job of keeping themselves honest and even being willing to die to try to go after the cartels and keep the Mexican people safe. I mean, it's not easy for them, and I think they're doing yeoman's work considering the cards they're dealt.
It's incredible. I agree.
Faz Rust, thank you for subscribing to Deprogrammed. Much appreciated. Tariq, Robbie, please have this question. Isn't using theological justifications, so I'll put Robbie on here, isn't using theological justifications for geopolitical ambitions what the worst people we claim do? I think we understand what I was trying to say.
Yeah, especially if you're stupid. You have to at least be honest about it. If you ask me what my religious beliefs are, I will tell you, and it is what it is, but now, Huckabee's a moron, and frankly, political Zionism is stupid. And to try to wrap, especially if you go and if you try to wrap it around the cross of Christ, who one of his titles is the Prince of Peace, and then you advocate the murder of children, that is peak level hypocrisy. And one of Jesus's harshest curses that he has on people is directly for people who harm children.
Yeah, the hypocrites is a word that comes up a lot in the Bible. Yeah. All right. Thank you very much for that, Robbie. Let me get back in here. Have either of us watched, John Bren wants to know, Punishment Park? I've heard of this 1971 alt history where Nixon gets emergency powers and gives hippies the choice to go to jail or run from the police in the desert. I love the 70s. The 70s had so many great movies of that ilk. Have you seen it? I haven't.
I haven't. No.
I got to see it. Love.
Yeah, now I have to see it too.
Yeah, that's like Wild in the Streets, or I love those movies. Have you seen that, Wild in the Streets?
No.
Oh, so that part of that, right? Like basically it's don't trust anyone over 30. Everyone over 30 ends up in concentration camps. Is it Richard Holbrooke? I think is the senator or someone who's like the father of the guy who leads the youth revolution, and he ends up in a prison camp high on LSD with his wife. It's very, very funny. I mean, so experimental. But I'm glad that Richard Nixon came up in a serious way, because more and more, this is feeling like the Nixon administration, right? I mean, we have Israel at war. We have, the ice in the streets is of American cities is kind of analogous to when Nixon deployed the National Guard to crush student protests and left-wing protests against the Vietnam War in the 70s. And that was a really, like, a part of American history that really traumatized that entire boomer generation, right? Yeah. It was like, you know, war used to be something that the U.S. did somewhere else, and now it's here at home. That's what it feels like now.
I would agree with that, but I would disagree in that as reactionary as many of us thought Richard Nixon was at the time.
Oh, right.
He wasn't. No. And for the most part, I mean, obviously, Watergate aside, Nixon was one of those, you know, normal politicians who played by the rules generally.
And, well, yeah, I mean, he did take, you know, when the courts ruled against him and told him he had to release the tapes, he did. He didn't want to.
He did
redact a lot.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's interesting, right? Like, actually, this provides another segue, right? So this is about the tariffs. The Supreme Court, after our show Friday, right after we went off the air, you know, they were waiting for that.
Oh, yeah.
They announced that in a 6-3 decision with three Republicans voting, three conservatives voting no, Alito, Thomas, and Kavanaugh, that the president does not have an authorization under the U.S. Constitution to impose these kinds of tariffs. Immediately upon that news, the New York Stock Exchange, the Dow Jones Industrial Average, increased by 300 points. Not huge, but you know, it's a rally. And over the weekend, the president announced, "Fuck that! I don't care what the court had to say. I'm still increasing tariffs to 10%." And he said, "No, fuck 10%. I mean 15%."
Yeah.
And then basically, this morning, right before we went on the air, the markets just opened 2 minutes ago, but the futures indicated that the market would be down about the same amount. Basically, the rally has just been erased, 250 points down. When I checked this research, yes, when I did this morning, John, gold prices are up. John loves gold.
John loves gold.
I thought the interesting story here was, you know, compared to Richard Nixon, John, right? Like, Richard Nixon respected the Supreme Court, even when it ruled against him, even though he was raging over like highballs in the White House at 2 a.m, but he listened to them. And the thing is, they weren't looking for like sort of a workaround.
Yes.
Within 24 hours, the White House, the administration, all of their supporters were like, "Well, there's another way to do it," and immediately announced that they were going to raise these tariffs anyway. I mean, the Supreme Court's message was kind of clear. We're the U.S. fucking Supreme Court, no tariffs. Mm-hmm. But like, what does it say about the separation of powers, John, if the spirit of the court's ruling is ignored so quickly and so insolently?
Where do you even?
It's a landmark decision too.
Begin. It's a landmark decision, and I'll tell you what: if we should be angry with anybody, we should be angry with Alito, Thomas, and Gorsuch, because they're the same guys that bitched and bitched and bitched every time Joe Biden wanted to do something, and then this doctrine that they just made up—the major decisions doctrine—that they just made up and said didn't exist when Joe Biden was president, and now magically exists while Donald Trump is president, gives the president the right to completely ignore the Constitution and to unilaterally levy sanctions against countries. And John Roberts said, no, that's not the case at all. In fact, the decision was 21 pages long, written by Roberts. The dissent that these three bozos wrote was 42 pages long. They needed double the pages to just try to explain their way out of their partisanship. So listen, again, we said this weeks ago, the Constitution cannot possibly be any more clear. Congress has to levy sanctions. I mean, tariffs. Congress levies tariffs. Presidents don't levy tariffs. Unless you levy a tariff on literally every country in the world. Now, if you are a country like India that negotiated a lower tariff and now, oh, overnight, sorry, it's back up to 15%, whether you like it or not. Well, that's on you then.
And by the way, the countries that did rush to negotiate with the administration are feeling pretty stupid now, because a lot of them have they settled for the bargain rate, which turns out to now be still a higher rate than the 15%.
That's right.
Yeah. So it all goes to show it's better to wait and see. But I mean, it does tell me that the system is in crisis. It's another sign, symptom to me, of a system in crisis, because our federal system's all based on separation of powers. And if one branch can just decide to completely ignore the highest authority of a rival branch, then there is no check or balance, right? I know the Supreme Court doesn't do this, but I kind of wish Justice Roberts would issue a statement and say, when the Supreme, you know, that basically says when the Supreme Court says to do something, you're supposed to do it, and you're not supposed to quibble.
Yeah, you're not. You're supposed to just do it.
Yeah. The
Supreme Court, even the Supreme Court can't figure out what their role is.
Well, yeah. And of course, that was always the problem, right, John? When, you know, people like us, I'm sure you were the same, when you first are studying as a kid and in college about the way our system works. And it's kind of like, well, what happens if the president were to ignore the Supreme Court? Well, that never happens. But what if he were? Well, how would they enforce it? Would the police go? It's like, no, they don't have an armed force. There's nothing they can do. It's like, oh, really? So it's just basically, well, because it's 18th century gentlemen who came up with this idea. And they were British, and of course, everyone does the right thing. Everyone jolly well knows that.
That's right.
But what if they didn't? Yeah, well, but they, yeah, now here we are.
Yeah, it was even like during wartime where, you know, you took a break at 4 o'clock and had tea. You took a break from shooting each other. or you
common decency.
You stood in a long line with your guns, and you waited till the other side was standing in their long line with their guns. But gentlemen didn't try to, you know, preempt the other side.
Or shoot at each other from behind trees like the Americans.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we're not a nation of gentlemen. We're like hard scrabble fuckers is what we are. and that can be good until it's not good.
Yeah.
Flandarina, this weekend we heard from family in the West Bank that Israeli settlers terrorized three families so much that they've been forced to abandon their homes. Huckabee would tell them they're entitled to do it. Well, not to mention, I'm still pissed off about the 19-year-old Palestinian American, U.S. citizen, U.S. passport holder, American, who was killed by the IDF and the sailors and the settlers over there in the West Bank. And Israel does not give a shit, and the U.S. government does not give a shit.
Nope. American citizen. And I'll tell you what, if Huckabee had been doing anything, he should have been jumping up and down on the head of Smotrich and Ben-Gavir after this American was killed in the West Bank.
Good question here from Dalton. Apologies for the misspelling Friday. I don't even know what that was. It's been a long weekend. The question was due to the outcome of the Venezuelan raid. Could that possibly be giving Trump false confidence for his upcoming attack against Iran?
It's possible.
I mean, we're hearing a lot of the same kind of speculation that Trump might want to do the same thing to Iran, like remove a top official like Ali Khamenei, the supreme leader, the religious leader, but Iran is not an absolute dictatorship. It's not like removing Saddam Hussein.
No.
You decapitate it. It doesn't mean anything. Iran's government remains in place. They've just lost one person. I mean, that guy's old. He's going to die anyway, right? Yeah. I mean, it's not like they haven't thought of this.
That's right.
There's a whole system. Great. It's a real country. It's almost like they think it's the Death Star. And if they hit that little clitoris, they can X marks the spot, right? Iran doesn't go that way.
No. And, you know, it's one thing to just, you know, send in a small team and snatch a guy out of his bed. It's another thing entirely to attack a country of 90 million people with hypersonic weapons and the support of Russia and China.
And a 5,000-year-old continuous civilization.
That's right.
That's where monotheism comes from. Chirati says that he or she like your new PC.
Hey, thank you.
Visual quality is looking good.
Good. I'm glad. I hope the sound is good too, because
it sounds very rich. It's excellent. Oh,
good, 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 good. Money well spent. I'll tell you what, it took 9 hours to transfer the data from my old computer to the new one. 9 hours.
Was it Mac to Mac or was it a PC? Yeah,
Mac to Mac.
Oh, because Mac to Mac is supposed to be seamless, right?
I even called Mac. I called Apple. Apple.
What'd they say? Like,
they were like, yeah, you have a lot of data.
Ah, well, don't let the NSA know. Yeah, know oh, they right. already know. Elliot, John, what does it say about Israeli influence that Jonathan Pollard got a pardon, but you haven't?
Great I don't think question. He got a pardon. He did every day of his 30-year sentence and then was released because they had to release him. But I don't think he got a pardon.
Why did he only get 30 years? I mean, I know 30 years is a long fucking time.
That was the deal. He took a plea just so more classified information wasn't released in court.
Did he cooperate with what he to explain what he did and all that?
Yeah, here it is. Jonathan Pollard was not pardoned, but rather released on parole in 2015 after serving 30 years for spying for Israel. The conditions of his parole expired in November 2020, allowing him to move to Israel.
Gotcha.
President Trump did, however, pardon Pollard's Israeli intelligence service handler, Aviem Sela, in January.
Oh, God. 2021. Really?
I didn't know that.
That's crazy.
Oh my God.
That's really surprising. That's more surprising than Pollard, really.
Wow. Yeah, that's even worse.
That is worse. HP, good morning. What do we think about India's support of the Israelis? I find it really mystifying, John. I don't know if that's because it's a Modi thing and he just wants to be on the winning team and he thinks that's it. Because, I mean, politically, look, India is a country that suffered under colonialization and, settler colonialism, fucked up India for, 150 years. And it's like, they of all people should be sympathizing with the Palestinian cause.
You can say that again.
All right. So, like the Irish.
It's very unpredictable, though.
Yeah.
You know?
Clearly. All right, let's get into some donation people. Thanks for the 11 euros from Hayden 8152. Good morning to us both, John. After listening to your most recent podcast with Julian, do you have any thoughts on the files that he showed you and how deep it goes? I've never seen you so speechless.
I was actually speechless. I gave an interview a couple of days ago to Julian Dory in New Jersey. Julian's a friend and he's a great guy and he's a terrific podcaster. Terrific. And I was literally speechless in this interview. He was showing me documents from the Epstein files that just blew my socks off. I didn't even know what to say. And then even he said, I've never seen you speechless like this. I said, I can't even, like, my brain can't wrap itself around what I'm looking at here. It was bad.
Okay. Sorry. I'm like talking to here. I'll just talk to Robbie. Robbie, do we have an ad?
We do. 1 second. I will throw it up. Okay.
All right. Put that up and we'll take another question. I'll do the ad and then you can come in and talk about what you need to talk about. All right. Here we go. Okay. Tucker said, thanks for the $5 from Chess Sniper. Tucker said that if war with Iran makes the U.S. richer, he would be in favor of it. Shouldn't we be careful in giving this man too much praise?
Yeah, you know what? That was a really stupid thing to say. I was surprised and disappointed when he said that. And I think he said it without thinking about it. Because he really is one of these, no wars of choice kind of guys. So for him to say that, it just sounded so flippant.
Well, he's very glib, something that I'm glib too. And I really, so us glibbies, we recognize each other. I'm like, that's a glib guy. And I think he was just, I think it's a joke kind of.
Yeah.
Kind of like, well, if we were going to make us rich, okay. John, I don't know you as someone who takes hearsay as evidence. Why believe Mark Epstein? Why were you able to speak to him? He would have a vested interest in going along with an extraction. Let's see if that ad is up. Okay, so while you think about that, John, and we are number 12 in the nation in Rumble.
About that. I don't need to think about
it. Okay, go ahead.
Epstein's dead. That's it. Epstein's dead. It's done.
No, he's clearly dead.
He's dead. He's yeah. not walking around Tel Aviv, going to the mall with his three-man security team like Gemini AI wants you to think he is.
Well, here's the way I look at it, John. If you have an unusual theory about a political event or a historic event, then the proof is on you. If you think Adolf Hitler is still alive, then you need to prove it. Yeah. I don't need to prove that he's not. Like that.
Yes. Okay. Precisely.
Here we go. Still haven't started 1775 coffee. Now's your shot. The 1775 starter kit just dropped. Only 1,000 units. You're getting the bold, dark roast that hits hard, the smooth medium roast, and the Vitality Mushroom Coffee for clean energy and laser focus. No crash. All single origin, small batch, toxin-free, and mold-free. Plus, you're also getting a gold spoon clip because freedom is not scooped with plastic. Where's the rest of it? Here we go. I should be able to do this one. This is for the top of my head. A frother strong enough to stir up your coffee and your mother-in-law's opinions, and a black 1775 tumbler. It's $170 worth of coffee and gear. Yours for $99. This is for the ones who've been watching 1775 blow up on Rumble, wondering if it's actually worth it. Spoiler, it is. Go to 1775coffee.com/studio and grab your starter kit before they're gone. Bold beans, clean fuel, and a morning routine that stands for something just like Rumble does. Let's bring in a consumer of 1775 coffee, and that would be Robbie West.
Hey, I know that guy. No, I just want to just thank everybody. We have got up to number 11 in the nation here on Rumble. And for those of you watching on YouTube, I need about 300 of y'all just to do something super easy. Come over to Rumble, make an account, and follow us. You want it up for two reasons. One, Rumble pays a hell of a lot more than YouTube does for the exact same thing that you're already doing now. Basically, for every nickel that YouTube pays, Rumble pays about 98 cents or 97 cents, give or take, because they pay you based off of watch hours and not just ads. Second, John Kiriakou, that guy right there in the middle, his official Rumble channel launched on Friday. And so that will be your home for all things John Kiriakou. So instead of having to go through all these different channels to find his interviews, you'll be able to go to one place, one centralized location with no censorship, and you'll be able to help John and Ted both get paychecks, and you'll be able to watch your two favorite people who like to argue with me all the time because you don't know my wife.
Okay, and just a reminder that we also have the Deprogram merch. Sure. Store is open. There's some, go check it out, deprogram.live, and there will be some more stuff, new stuff in there soon, but the stuff that's there is not going to last forever. Our plan is to sort of rotate stuff out, so if you see something you like, you got to get it now or it'll be gone. Okay, so with that, let's go do some more questions. So many questions.
I just got a question. Somebody saw me on this Lad Bible interview that I did, and the question was, what are the most dangerous countries in the world? And I said that one of the most dangerous places in the world was Gaza. Why would I say that? Well, the answer is there's a war going on there.
Yeah, because you can ask the 400,000 Palestinians who have been killed in the last 2.5 years. Yeah, it's not that the local authorities, such as they are, there are no local authorities anymore. It's hard to say. I mean, I'm not well traveled in Africa, so I can't answer that. But I would say generically, Pakistan is pretty sketchy.
Yeah, yeah.
Chess Sniper, thanks for the $5. Tucker said that. We already answered that. Sorry about that. My apologies. Dumb question. Love the show. Fun hob music. Would Trump attack Iran to get ratings for his State of the Union speech?
Say that again.
Which State of the Union address is tomorrow night. Would Trump attack Iran today or tomorrow in order to get ratings, quote unquote, for his speech? Yeah. I don't know if it's a dumb question.
No, I don't think that's a dumb question.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I suspect that like the military would be, if the timing, if that caused the timing to be bad, I think the military would put the kibosh on it, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
But you know, okay. Speaking of which, Supreme, what do you expect to see tomorrow? I think we're going to see another kind of like rambly, like he'll start off going, you know, on message. There will be a, he'll be reading and then he'll start to, you know, basically run it like a campaign rally, like he did last year.
Yeah. Agreed.
Okay. Firmware, $2. Joint Chiefs recommended against recognition. Recognition of, I don't even know. Do you know? Okay. Dimitri, looking for your insight against on the Mexican thing. What's your analysis? I don't think we've seen it on this scale before. Well, we already kind of talked about that. So does every country, this would be a question for you, John, Furfur, does every country announce their chief of stations to the hosting country?
Not necessarily. It depends on the state of your relations with that country. And I'm not revealing classified information here. I'm just making this up. Let's say that we open an embassy in Mogadishu. Okay. We're probably not going to tell the Somali government, this guy right here is the CIA station chief, because we wouldn't trust the government in Mogadishu and they'd probably try to take him out.
That would be bad.
You know, in most countries, yeah, you're gonna reveal this the station chief because that's the guy that's gonna be liaising with you at a top level.
So Elliot Covert has a question for me, but John, feel free to chime in. What are the odds of a national rally candidate winning the next presidential election in France? Isn't Marine Le Pen ineligible? She is ineligible. A court ruled that she can't run for 5 years. It's now been, I guess, one and a half. So she's got 3.5 to go, but she can't run next year. So that's true. Jordan Bardella is her protege. He's kind of like a Pete Buttigieg of the French right, I think is the best way to describe him. He's a small, fussy little man. He's definitely an interesting guy. Does he have what it takes to be elected president of France? At this point, I would say no. I mean, the election's a long way away, but I don't think he has the same charisma or the family right name recognition of Marine Le Pen, whose father, of course, founded the party when it was used to be called the National Front, and it was much more, you know, openly Vichy. I don't think so. I think, but I wouldn't say absolutely not. It's, what do you think, John?
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah. Is the U.S. planning a French spring? Ha. They better not be. France is a real country. U.S. triple XA Rod, thanks for the fiber. Trump has the U.S. getting involved on many issues internationally, Iran, Israel, Ukraine, now Mexico. Is he spreading himself too thin now and setting the U.S. up for trouble?
That's a good question.
It's an excellent question.
Yeah.
I think he spreads himself too thin domestically, too.
I agree.
He doesn't focus. I mean, you know, just do three things at a time. That's it. Not meant to be disrespectful. Original Umbra. John, you've often said that the CIA seeks sociopathic narcissists for their operatives. Does that mean you are a sociopathic narcissist?
No, I never said anything about narcissists. I said people who have sociopathic tendencies. Somebody who has sociopathic tendencies is willing to work in legal and moral gray areas. And the example that I've used in interviews is, you know, would I be willing to break into a foreign embassy and steal documents? Of course I would be. I can't tell you how many times I broke into people's homes and planted, you know, listening devices and little pinhole cameras because we're the good guys and they were the bad guys. And so, yeah, I was happy to do it. That's a sociopathic tendency because a normal person would not be willing to break into a house and plant eavesdropping equipment.
Yeah, I think it's important to distinguish between a tendency and like a full on, right? Yeah. Like, so yeah. you can have a tendency to like a personality.
Oh, did we lose Ted's at a historic inn in Washington, and I think that I think that the signal is not very good. Unless it's me that's frozen. Hey, Robbie, can you hear me? I guess Robbie's frozen too. Okay, well, Robbie can hear me, but I think he's frozen. So I'm going to go to Robbie's next question, which he sends to us right here. Let me find it. John, do you believe that the FBI did a good job with the J6 pipe bomb suspect? He's an autistic, brawny black guy. Is there a motive? What about a report you promoted weeks before? So that report was withdrawn by the outlet that published it. There's Ted. And yeah, you know, with the suspect being this autistic guy, it's a miracle to me that they didn't get him earlier. I'm not really sure what's behind it. We haven't seen anything since the actual arrest.
I did not hear any of that, but I'm sure it was a brilliant answer, as always. did we ever come across a question for both of us from Peru's the late journalist John Pilger, who lived in the UK but reported and made docs about the US too?
Yeah, I knew John well. He and I were both on the board of Consortium News together. Good guy, very good guy, brilliant journalist.
I knew of him, loved his work, but I never met him.
Great.
While more Christians, Tyler wants to know, live in Qatar than Israel, they're non-citizen workers often living in poorer conditions, unable to display crosses. What are Christian conditions in Israel like?
That's not exactly true. I've been to church in Qatar. I've been to church in Bahrain. I've been to church in Kuwait. You can display a Christian cross. The only place where you can't display a cross is in Saudi Arabia.
Okay.
And not do it. You get arrested.
Okay. Quick question. Then I got it. Well, let's do this. It's the fourth anniversary of the Russian invasion of Ukraine. The war is entering its fifth exciting year. All the mainstream media is saying, like, now Russia's really feeling the pain, and now they're going to have to give up any day now. They're high, right, John?
Yeah. The Russians are winning. That's the bottom line. The Russians are winning. The Ukrainians aren't going to win. They can't win. There's no incentive for the Russians to negotiate because they're winning. So why would you negotiate?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I think that we just have to sort of accept that.
Quick question, Desert Fox. If I want to get, it's for you. If I want to get gold now, am I screwed, or is there a way to prepare for the financial reset? It's a good question because it is high. Want to buy high?
You know, I asked the guy. I did an interview on Deep Focus with the sponsor, the CEO of the gold company, and he firmly believes that that there is going to be a reset and that gold's going to continue to go higher. I don't know, to tell you the truth. I'm not a commodities expert, but I will admit that I didn't go out and buy gold, but I went out and bought silver.
Okay. Thanks for the $10 from John McGuire. Thanks for the $4 from Maria.
Thank you.
We got time for like maybe one or two more. Dimitri, John, what do you think of the administration's new prerogative for a strike against Iran? Then, depending on circumstances, opting for a bigger response later in the year. What's the timeline?
I don't think we yet know what the timeline is, but the president did say something funny that was leaked by somebody. He said he can't believe that the Iranians haven't capitulated. Why haven't they capitulated? So I think that this leak that I dutifully parroted whenever it was, Friday, I guess, that we were prepared to strike Iran on either Monday today or Tuesday tomorrow may have been leaked on purpose because it was meant to frighten the Iranians into just giving up. And yep. The president wants to know why they haven't given up.
Well, I don't think he appreciates the amount of pressure the Iranians have been under since 1979. I mean, they're old hands at this. American presidents come and go, but you know, dealing with U.S. as assholery is forever. John, thank you so much for joining me again this morning. We will be back tomorrow at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. Tuesday, we're here Monday through Friday at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. Please stay tuned for the TMI show with me and Manila Chan. And we start right now. See you later. Thanks for your support.
Bye, everybody.